This program is sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.
This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here. Welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this battlefield called life. And speaking of battlefields, we've had Joel Barnes on the program in the past, and he shared his story, and we discussed the Rogue Christian, and Joel got into it to the point where he have offered to create the audio version of the Rogue Christian, and today he's calling in from Yuzhny in the Ukraine on his 28th birthday. So, Joel, welcome back to the program.
Glad to be here, Mike. Thanks for having me again.
It must be sometime in the night there, I'm guessing.
About 8 p.m.
Oh, okay. And happy birthday before we get into it. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
So what brought you to the Ukraine? What are you doing there?
I am doing missionary work with a children's center here in Yuzhny that does outreach to a variety of different kids from different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm. And when we emailed last week, you had said a building had gotten hit not far from you. Is that true?
Yes. Yes. Actually, these past few weeks in particular have been, from what I understand, fairly extreme on the attack side. Usually, some of the bigger cities close by here will get hit and have been hit throughout the course of the war. But these past couple of weeks, Yuzhny is a fairly small town, but it's been hit a few times these last few weeks. And on Wednesday, they suffered, from what I hear, the second worst attack that they've had. I got to experience it firsthand. It was late in the evening, and there were several buildings around me that were on fire. I got to hear explosions from drone strikes, spent a good couple hours in the bathroom away from the windows, as I was advised. And, yeah, I knew what I was walking into, but it was still a bit surreal being there in the moment as this war is happening.
Hmm. And talk more about what you're doing there with kids.
Yep. So there is a children's center here called Island of Hope. They are partnered with a local Baptist church, and they have their building on the same property as that church. Nearly 10 years ago now, they opened up their doors to kids in the area that were from maybe challenging households where one parent wasn't present, or maybe a parent or both parents are abusive, so that kids would get an opportunity to learn about God and get a proper education. And then, as God does a lot of the time, he ended up having a greater plan for it. Because a few years later was when the war started. Island of Hope was already established. They already had experience working with some challenging kids. And so as the men of the country went to go fight the war, it left a lot of families with just a mother at home or neither parent at home. And a lot of the education system kind of fell apart over the past few years with teachers leaving the country and the government kind of becoming a little bit more loose on education. A lot of these kids from the public school system only get, you know, a few hours a week of education, and sometimes it's not the best. And so Island of Hope has stepped in and offers what is effectively a free private school for any children in the area that are willing to come. And they've grown now to, you know, they started out with just a few kids. They've grown to a size of, I'd say, probably 70 to 80 children are coming through each week. And they do an absolutely phenomenal job of teaching these kids. It's really incredible. As for me, I visited back in December. There's a long story behind how I ended up connected with this church and the island. I met some friends that connected me to it. But I came initially just on an instinct from God saying he wanted to do something with me here. And I visited, did some very brief English classes for these kids, really got attached to them. They got really attached to me and asked me to come back. And so through what is absolutely a miraculous experience with my remote job allowing me to come back, I'm able to come and be here for a few weeks. And I plan on returning a few more times throughout this year, working with the kids, teaching them about God and teaching them English. And it's wonderful.
So what is the mindset of people you're working with there, being there in a time of war? What does that look like?
So to some people who maybe have faced struggles in their life and decided to cling to God, this probably won't come as a huge surprise, but for those who maybe are used to a fairly comfortable life, it may come as a bit of a shock to hear. I'd say the strength of these people's faith has been increased throughout the experience of the war. They're putting their all into serving God, praying regularly, just very, very serious on their mission. And I think it's something that I find a strong connection with. It's I've faced some difficulties throughout my life, different kinds than what they've gone through. But I really, really admire the way that they approach their faith. And it's very much appreciated in comparison to some of the, we'll call it lukewarm experiences I've had in America with churches that are maybe have it a bit easier.
Mm. So you're saying the other believers you're encountering, they're all in? Would that be a way to put it?
Absolutely. Yeah. There's no other way to do it. Either you're in or you're not. And for those who have decided to stick around, their faith has grown. Maybe for those who I haven't met who weren't as serious about it, aren't really a part of it.
Mm. And what does praying regularly mean?
So there is a time of prayer to start off every morning where they pray for the children and one another as well as the war. Every single class with the children has at least one moment of prayer, whether it be praying over a snack, praying before games, after a lesson, before a lesson. There's usually at least one integrated prayer moment. And then there's a few times throughout the day where they do Bible lessons for the kids and talk to them about God. And it's really wonderful to see. There's a lot of these kids here who were churched initially, the first like round of kids that participated in the island were churched kids, usually children of some of these parents. But as it's grown, there are lots of kids coming from a more secular viewpoint or an Orthodox church background, probably nominal in their faith. And I'm getting to see these kids take their relationship with God seriously, and that cannot be discounted.
Well, imagine when there's bombs going off, that kind of puts your mortality on the line right in front of you, too.
Yeah, I will say I've had a few near life and death experiences throughout my life, and I think before I even came here, I had a bit of a mindset of, you know, when God decides to call me home, that's when it's going to happen. And I'm not worried for myself during some of these drone strikes where I'm, you know, just sitting and praying. I actually found myself kind of frustrated that there's not more that I can do. I think some of it has been an opportunity to see God at work and be able to trust in Him and His power and not always my own. After each of the more major attacks, the kids are fairly shaken up. There was a morning last week, Thursday, the day after the pretty major attack where several of the buildings were hit, where I was walking to the island. It's just a few blocks away from the apartment that I'm staying in. And before I even arrived there, I happened upon a couple of the kids that I teach, an older brother and a younger sister. And the younger sister ran up to me, hugged me, and wouldn't let me keep walking until I picked her up. And so I carried her the rest of the way to the island, and she cried pretty much the whole time because she was scared about the previous day. Mm-hmm. And it really tugs at my heart because I want to be able to take care of and protect these kids. And, you know, I can offer them some things, but I can't make the drones and the bombs go away.
Sure. And what age range are they typically there?
Anywhere from kindergarten to, I'd say, about 13. So youngest is usually about 5 up to like 12 or 13. I'd say the primary age group is like 5 to 8 or 9. The older, there are fewer of the older kids.
And what do you see the church at large? How are they responding in the Ukraine? What does that look like?
I wish I had a better answer for that. I have been fairly secluded in this particular group here in Yuzhny. I had a chance to visit another church in a city closer to Kyiv back in December that I am not returning to this time. I think they've kind of just accepted that this is what life is now, and they take it as an opportunity to minister to people. I think it, especially with parents and adults, they've just kind of accepted that this is how things are now. But like I said, their faith has definitely increased in the process. I heard a story when I initially arrived back in December from one of the older ladies in the church where she talked about the very first day that the war really ramped up back in, I think it was 2022. And there was a huge exodus of people from the east, either moving to the western part of Ukraine or straight up leaving the country, going to Poland and Germany and other neighboring European countries. And they lost a significant portion of the church congregation. But the interesting thing was, at the same time, there were lots of people looking for a place to stay, and hotels, apartments, etc. were completely overwhelmed by the number of people. And so with the gap in attendance at the church opened their doors to people that were coming through. And if I'm remembering correctly, they said the church building typically will house about 500 people. They gave refuge to about 5,000 on that first week of the war, as well as fed and cared for them. And there were many people who converted in that moment, which is just, it sounds like a story straight out of the Bible, like at the feeding of the 5,000 type story.
Hmm. Wow. that's amazing. And do you see a lot of buildings reduced to rubble all around, or what does the landscape look like?
Sure. So again, Yuzhny is on the smaller side, so it hasn't been a primary target. Each time I have come here, I go through a major city called Odessa that's just about an hour to the west. It's the southernmost major city in the country, and it's where shipping lanes tend to come through. It's also where a lot of the drone strikes will come from. Russia will send them down over the water where it's harder to deal with them, and then they will come up and hit cities that are along the southern coast of the country. Odessa has some buildings that have been obliterated. They do try and repair certain buildings. And with Yuzhny, aside from the few buildings that have been hit in the last couple of weeks, they mostly have been fine. We took a little trip on Sunday to a neighborhood that is right near a power plant, and that was one of the things that was hit during the attack on Wednesday, and I witnessed several residential homes that had been basically had their roof and like top half of the building destroyed, and I got to spend some time with the kids of those families during Sunday. Mm.
Do a lot of the kids speak English?
Rudimentary English. I spent some time in Poland back in 2023, which is part of the story of how I ended up here. And in Poland, it's pretty typical. Anyone under the age of 30 is conversational in English. In Ukraine, not so much. You'll meet a few people that are. A lot of them will speak basic words, like they can say hello and how are you. They'll ask some simple questions, but it's very, very rudimentary. And so the opportunity for them to learn from me, a native English speaker, has been a pretty big draw for the island.
So what is your mindset like right now with where you are?
Like I said earlier on in the conversation, I am both really excited and energized to work with the kids. It's really uplifting for me. I absolutely adore children, and being able to start off the day by spending time around them, receive hugs and gifts and excitement and all that wonderful energy is great. At the same time, it's frustrating to not be able to do as much as I'd like. I'm a natural born protector. And I mean, if we were talking about one of the kids being, you know, attacked by an individual person, I would stand right up to that. But there's a scale at which I'm not able to, you know, stop the war from happening. And I have to keep reminding myself, you know, the war is big, Russia is big, but so was Goliath. And I have to trust that God's going to protect these kids. He's going to watch over them. And that's all I can really, really do in regards to the war.
And you went through some spiritual warfare leading up to this trip, I believe. Is that right?
Yes, I did. And I shouldn't have been all too surprised by it. Back in maybe like September, October of last year, as I was preparing for my initial trip, I started feeling the weight of that. And it has not subsided in between that December trip and the one that I am on right now. Yeah, I'd say there's a lot of discouragement, loneliness, struggles with lust as well. Buttons that I think Satan knows are weak points for me that he likes to push.
What about spiritual warfare there in the Ukraine in general? Is this talked about openly and dealt with, or what does that look like?
That's a very good question. I don't know. Most of the conversation tends to revolve around God on an individual level, which I think is not necessarily a bad thing to be focused on that. I don't know if there's been a whole lot of mention of Satan or demons or spiritual warfare that's happening behind the scenes. But I wouldn't be surprised if it is happening.
Well, if nothing else, and I'm sure there's quite a bit more, but if nothing else, I'm sure there would be plenty of attacks of fear.
Yes, absolutely.
So what do you think would be some good, you've made some contrasts, named some contrasts of people who are really going all out there? What are we missing in the U.S.? I mean, we're not in a war zone, of course, so there is that consideration. But why is there such – why have we lost a sense of urgency in the States, as you mentioned?
It's something that I ask myself quite a bit, and I think there's probably a few smaller things that you can point to. Obviously, sin is at the heart of it, and I think the particular thing that we tend towards as Americans, and it's a general statement, so I won't say it's true of everyone and everything, but hardship drives us towards God. As much as I wish I could say in my personal life that when things are going well, I remember to pray and thank God, it doesn't always happen. I tend to find myself going to God the most when I need something or I'm missing something or I'm struggling with something. And I'm grateful for God's grace and understanding because I think He recognizes that that's the case. So I think, honestly, in some ways, and I'm not going to say that America doesn't struggle. There's different kinds of struggles that people go through. I think America's really struggling with identity, understanding where each individual person fits in. People want to figure out who they are. And the world has a lot of different ideas that they put into people's heads, kids and adults alike, about how to answer that question. And it is my belief, as I'm sure it is yours, that the solution to that is putting one's identity in Christ. But unfortunately, with all the options that we're offered in America, we're not always likely to pursue that first, or for some people ever. And so even amongst Christians and believers in the church, I think there's a lot of trying to figure out, what do I like? What do I want to do? You know, what do I want to pursue for my career? And all of these are fine questions. But the first question we should be asking is, what is my identity in Christ? What does God have for my life? What does God have planned? And the answer to that question has led me here.
Amen.
So
I think I'm hearing you say that suffering is actually a blessing, and I'm reminded of James 1, the verse that says, consider it all joy when you encounter various trials. What is your take on that now?
Well, for starters, that's my favorite verse in the Bible, the James 1, 2 through 4. Excellent, excellent passage. James has so much good knowledge for believers at all stages in life. Yeah, I think over time I have come to understand that verse in many different lights. I think at first I was baffled by the idea of how can you experience joy in the midst of struggle, and then, you know, later on in life I was like, well, if God says I should do it, I guess I'll force myself to try and be happy. And then it's ultimately a realization that it's not the trials themselves that bring about the joy. It's experiencing God in those moments of those trials, seeing the work that He's going to do both on the outside and inside of you.
And I imagine you're experiencing that right now in the middle of a war zone.
Yes, I am. Yes. So I have been blown away by how much I've been able to do, how, you know, in spite of the fact that I don't know if I mentioned this earlier on, but I am working full time at my job remotely in addition to working at the Children's Center. And I kind of had a feeling that it would be a lot to bear. And I'm actually finding myself more energized simply because I am surrounded by other believers who are taking their walk seriously, more so than when I'm in the States. It's much better to spend, you know, 40 hours of my time working with these kids and genuine believers than to sit at home on my phone.
Oh, amen, amen. So 30 seconds, we're at the end here. Anything you want to say?
Please pray for the people of Ukraine and consider the fact that some of these experiences that people are having in Ukraine might actually be something that's drawing them closer to God. And whatever it is you may be struggling with, even if it's not a war zone in the traditional sense, consider that it may be God trying to get your attention. Mm. And maybe you should talk to him.
Hey, that's well said. Thank you, Joel. And thank you, my friends. And we'll see you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.